Eaton Time with Belton Johnson for the Saskatchewan Cattle Association.
Yeah. And we got our cook all lined up and ready to go. Hey, Belton, how are you? We've lost them. Hey, Belton, are you there?
I'm here.
There we go. There we go. There we go. I was afraid you'd skipped out of the kitchen on us here.
I'm here.
Hey, it's last week, regular season, NFL. Who's your team?
Who's my team? Well, for these last couple games here, I think the team that, you know, I'm just thinking about the Bucks, the Panthers, because that's going to be a big game right in. The Bucks, I get an edge to the Bucks. Just the Panthers, I think their offense is not all that good, right? But yeah. I like the Bucks offense a little bit better, and I like their defense. So I'm going to have to get an edge to the Bucks in that particular game.
This has been a good NFL season. There's been some great close games, haven't there?
Oh, it's so close that, you know, the teams you think should win, they end up losing. The teams that lose, they kind of end up winning, and just kind of messed up a lot of my predictions the entire season. But I like the parity and everything, right?
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, I don't even know who can win the Super Bowl right now. For all I know, it could be the Jacksonville Jaguars that win this thing because, you know, they won some games this season that, again, like, how did they, you know, beat this team? And and look at their record. Trevor Lawrence, he's playing really good. Their defense is playing good. But you never know, man.
Yeah. So many great quarterbacks out there. Man, it's just the talent in so many of these quarterback positions across the league is just fun to watch. Okay.
It is.
We got to make some soup. What's the plan today? What's Belton cooking up for us?
Oh, what we're going to cook up today is beef soup.
I love that.
And with the beef soup, the thing we want to do with Brett there, you know, start with some beef stew meat, and you know, it's cut up into chunks. Or you know, I tell folks if you can't find that stewing meat, maybe get a chuck roast and you know, start cutting up some cubes there and everything, right?
Yep.
But we want to sprinkle with some salt, a little bit of pepper, maybe get that all mixed up, and we want to heat a soup pot, get with some oil and everything. So my soup pot is a Dutch oven. If you know what that is.
Right? I do. I know what a Dutch oven. So do you go with like a cast iron Dutch oven or just a regular steel one?
Oh, no, it's a cast iron Dutch oven.
Oh,
I love it, man.
Okay.
and so we're going to get some oil in there, get that heated. And we want to brown the meat. And I don't like throwing all the meat in there all at once because I like to give room so it can, you know, get browned and caramelized on all the sides and everything. So you might have to cook two or three batches of beef, if you will. Are you still there with me?
I got you, man.
All right. So the next thing, once we get it sauteed and brown on all sides, we want to add in some chopped onions, some celery, and you may have to add a little bit more oil in there, not a whole lot, right? And get those veggies softened up. Once we have the veggies softened up there and everything, what we want to do is add in a can of tomatoes with the juices.
Yep.
I like to add in some beef broth, and you cannot go wrong with bay leaves. Bay leaves to me brings out a lot of flavor in soups and everything, right?
Absolutely.
And then we want to add that browned beef that we cooked in that same pot earlier, right? So we got the canned tomatoes, the beef broth, we got the bay leaf, we got the onion, celery, and the beef all in there. We're going to bring it to a boil. And once it starts boiling, Brett, I need you to reduce the heat and put the cover on the pot there and let it simmer for about 2 hours. Until the beef is tender.
2 hours? I'm hungry.
But, it takes time for this one. And so once after that 2 hours are up, or until that beef is nice and tender, what I like to do is add in white rice, lemon juice, garlic cloves, coriander, and paprika.
Oh.
And I don't know, it's something about the lemon juice in this particular beef soup. I don't know. It brings it all together for me. But we're going to cover and simmer that for 20 minutes or until that rice is cooked and ready, right?
Yep.
So, and once that's done, would want to remove it from the heat, and I like to add in parsley. And I'm not sure if you're a big dill fan, but I like to throw dill in there as well.
Really?
And oh yeah, and let it sit off the heat there for about 10 minutes before serving. And guess what, Brett?
It's eating time.
There you go.
You know, and my wife makes a really good beef soup. And that smell when you walk in the house, walk in the kitchen, my gosh, there's nothing that gets the mouth watering any more than that. I've got a question for you, though, Belton.
Yes, sir.
At what point does beef soup become beef stew? Because you wouldn't have what modifications would you make to, you know, thicken that recipe up just to make it a little more stewy?
Well, to make it more stewy, I feel like, the broth or it's not as much liquids and everything.
Yeah.
Right? And stews are a little bit heartier. You know, I feel like potatoes and carrots and, you know, a lot more of that and probably a bit more meat. But, you know, a soup is more, I guess, how can I say it, more liquidy?
Yeah, more watery. Yeah.
It is. And whereas a stew, I feel like you use, flour or cornstarch to thicken things up, right? So, to me, that would be the difference between a soup and a stew.
Yeah, either one works great this time of year, and a nice fresh bun to eat it while you're enjoying those. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I used to work for an old guy who was a farmer, and I'd pick rocks for him, and he'd feed me. And he would pour a can of soup in the pan, and he'd pour a can of stew in the pan, and he called it his stoop. I always thought, well, that's a pretty good idea. Let's have stoop.
That stoop sounds good to me, man.
Hey, it's so good chatting with you, Belton. Hope you have a great 2026 ahead. Happy New Year, and thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Happy New Year to you as well, Brett.
All right, take care. Belton Johnson for Saskatchewan Cattle Association, and it's eating time. Beef soup. It's just about quarter after the hour. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to check in with Matt Cullen. You heard him doing the World Juniors Canada game on New Year's Eve. We'll get his thoughts on how things are looking heading into the quarterfinals at the World Juniors in Minneapolis today. And then after 11:30, we'll chat with John Hampton, the director, executive director, and CEO of the Mackenzie Art Gallery. It's been a pretty amazing year for the Mackenzie Art Gallery in Regina, and they're looking for big things in 2026 as well. Look forward to that. And then more on this decision by the Saskatoon Police to start doing something that other police forces, including Regina Police Force, have been doing for 2 years, and that is the mandatory alcohol screening. We'll be having a chat after 12 noon with Sergeant Ray Robertson with the Saskatoon Police Service. This is the Evan Bray Show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Evan Bray Show, Brent Clark's filling in today. Evan's back in the chair here on Monday. Happy to be spending a few minutes now with Matt Cullen from Minneapolis as we're looking forward to the quarterfinals today at the World Junior Hockey Championship. Hey, Matt, thanks for giving us some time.
No problem. How are you doing today?
Doing great. I was talking to some family down in southern Manitoba on the weekend, and they were talking about how all their neighbors have vacated the province and are down in Minneapolis to check out all the action. I think they even said there was some reference they were calling it Minneapolis, Manitoba instead of Minneapolis, Minnesota. But it's good to see the crowd's a little better, I'm guessing, from your perspective.
Yeah, it looks like that last game there, the New Year's Eve game against Finland, there was a good Canadian crowd there as well. Hasn't always been full every night, but certainly there's no shortage of passion for Team Canada in Minnesota, but across the country here as well.
Yeah, you did the play-by-play on the New Year's game, did you not?
I did. I actually did solo play-by-play. The analyst camera gods couldn't make it. So I was riding solo, and my voice is held up, just barely.
Hey, it's kind of like me filling in for Evan. You got to talk for 4 hours, man.
Takes a lot. Takes a lot of training. But, I could do 60 minutes of hockey, 4 hours of radio. That's another beast. So I wish you good luck.
Thank you. Good for you. You've had a great career, three-time Stanley Cup winner in your NHL days. You know, do you put yourself in the mindset of these young players at the World Juniors, thinking back to when you were starting out in your career and the excitement and the rush it must be for them to be playing there?
You know, I have to say, there's a couple of Matt Cullens out there, and I am not the one that won three Stanley Cups and played 1,500 games, unfortunately.
I was trying to make you feel good.
Goaltender. Yeah, I played a little junior B goaltender out in Vancouver when I was younger, but that's where my hockey career stopped and my broadcasting career took over there. But I think just from interacting with Team Canada, it's just such a special moment to wear the maple leaf and to represent Canada. And they've got a really tough quarterfinal here today against the Slovaks.
And you do the Sens play-by-play, am I right on that?
I do, yes, that's right. Yeah, that is the right Matt Cullen. You got
there
that
go.
One right there.
We got you there.
I was up in Ottawa yesterday for their New Year's Day game against Washington, which is a pretty cool comeback win against Ovechkin in the Capitals.
So what are you thinking on the four games that we're seeing today?
Well, I mean, we got five games, actually, because there's the relegation game that's actually
about
to get started right now, Germany and Denmark, and that is always a very interesting game to watch because we're not really used to that in North America because relegation doesn't really exist. But that is a huge, huge game for both of those countries because essentially one of them is going to be going down into Division 1A, which is like the second tier of World Juniors. Mm-hmm. So it's the battle to really stay in the top tier between Germany and Denmark. So I definitely have that one queued up on my list today. And then, once we get into the quarterfinals, I mean, the headline is Canada-Slovakia. You can join us across the TSN radio network at 8 p.m. Eastern time. That's 7 Central from Minnesota. It's going to be a very tough game for the Canadians. Yes, they won their group. They won Group B. Wasn't always easy. They did pick up 11 of a possible 12 points. So, it went well. In the end, Canada got its wins. They got four wins. But this Slovak team has won. That went one win and three losses, and then all three losses were by just one single goal against Sweden, the U.S., and Switzerland. So this is going to be a very. If we thought this was going to be an easy game, I think that needs to be corrected as soon as possible. I think this is going to be a really tough game here.
What do you think? All four being pretty tight games.
Yeah, well, Sweden, Latvia, that's a mismatch on paper for sure. That's the first one up. That starts at 1:30 Central time today. And I think that the Swedes look really good. They beat the Americans on New Year's Eve. It wasn't particularly close. They had a 4-1 lead. They ended up cruising onto that one to win 6-3. I think the Swedes, they haven't won a lot in the World Juniors. They just have one gold medal in the last 44 years. They're so good in the round robin. Mm-hmm. They can go deep, but they can't seem to get it over the line when it comes to winning that gold medal. I think they got a great chance this year. I think they're going to be one of the teams to beat. USA, Finland, that's going to be another one. 5 o'clock. That's going to be a really tough game as well. The Americans, back-to-back gold medal winners. They've never won it at home before. There's obviously a huge appetite in the state of hockey to see the Americans go for the three straight gold medals. Finland's a tough team, though, and we just saw that against Canada. They have a lot of fights. They have a lot of good scorers, a lot of talent up front. In the end, they couldn't keep the puck out of their own net, but I think that game against the U.S. is going to be an interesting one, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Finns perhaps pull off the upset there.
Interesting. You doing the play-by-play on the Canada game here tonight?
I am ready to go, yes, and I will have an analyst as far as I know tonight. I think former NHLer Cameron Gauntz is going to be back in the chair, so that'll help my voice, which appears to be cracking by the second here.
Have yourself some tea. Okay, let's project ahead to Monday. Who's going to be in the final?
Well, I mean, I think there's been no reason to think that Canada can't be back in the gold medal game. Yes, the last 2 years haven't been terrific with the two straight quarterfinal exits. This is going to be a tough test, but I think if they can find what they need to find to beat the Slovaks, they're going to have a great chance to move on and into the semifinal and into the final as well. So I think we'll see Canada there as well. I really like Sweden. I think Sweden outclassed the United States. I think they're the other team to beat.
We'll watch for it. Matt, always a pleasure. Thanks for your time, and all the best with the play-by-play tonight for Canada and Slovakia.
Thank you, and happy New Year.
You bet. You too. Yep. Thanks a lot, Matt Cullen. That Matt Cullen doing the play-by-play on TSN Radio, and you'll hear that here beginning at 7 on CJME and CKOM. Brent Laux filling in today, the Evan Bray Show. Evan's back here on Monday.
And we'll continue along here till 12:30. Coming up here after the 11:30 news, we're going to check in with John Hampton. John is the executive director and the CEO of the McKenzie Art Gallery. Some pretty interesting stuff happened at the McKenzie Art Gallery late in the year, and you still have an opportunity to see that. We'll talk about it. But also, what's ahead for 2026 at the McKenzie Art Gallery in Regina. After noon, more discussion about Saskatoon police announcing that as of January 1st, they would be doing mandatory alcohol screening, or at least have the ability to do mandatory alcohol screening. We were talking with a lawyer about that earlier this morning when we kicked off the show, and we'll continue that conversation afternoon with Sergeant Ray Robertson with the Saskatoon Police Service Traffic Section. If you've got something on your mind relating to that matter, you've got a question about the mandatory school or mandatory alcohol screening, you could let me know, and I'll try to get that question to our guest afternoon at 1-877-332-TALK, 1-877-332-8255. I just wanted to take a look at some of these texts that have been coming in. Quinton, sorry I missed that, but I'm sure Belton Johnson is still listening to us. He says, you should congratulate Belton. His Ole Mississippi won last night in the Sugar Bowl. I'm sure he heard that. And I'm sure he was aware of it too, Quinton. Thanks for the text at 1-877-332-8255. Thank you for the kind words from Shannon. My pleasure to be here, Shannon. Thank you for listening. And same for you, Brenda. Thank you. Brenda listens in when I'm filling in on Evan here, and Happy New Year to you. 1-877-332-8255. And also just a final text on the issue with block heaters. All of this started with vehicle fires we were talking about, and some of them caused by faulty block heaters, and how Ford has a recall on a block heaters, and they have supply issues that the part's not available right now. Listener texted in saying, my 2020 BMW X5, paid $100,000 for it. We realized, though, as my wife had to do some traveling and didn't have a garage, there's no block heater. I loved the guys at the dealership, but I couldn't believe a $100,000 car, and they didn't put a block heater in it. And then he goes on to say magnetic block heaters are good, but lots of oil pans now are made out of aluminum, and they won't stick to them. And he says, and in the case of my BMW, there's shields covering the entire underside of the engine, and you can't even see the oil pans. 1-877-332-8255. That's how you get a hold of me. Call or text The Evan Bray Show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. That's a pretty good day out there weather-wise. Good morning, Brent Lougs filling in, Evan Bray Show. Evan back here come Monday. And for folks in and around the Regina area, you're still in that Christmas holiday mode, looking for something to do, why not pay a visit to the McKenzie Art Gallery? Open today till 5:30, open on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday as well. Looking forward to having a chat right now with John Hampton. John is the CEO of the McKenzie Art Gallery, executive director as well. Welcome to the program, John.
Thanks for having me, Brent.
This has been an interesting run. I was looking back over the history of the McKenzie Art Gallery. Gosh, been around for over 70 years now. Got an amazing location along mm-hmm. Albert Street. And you've had quite a year.
Oh, yeah, it's been a huge year. And, you know, Saskatchewan's oldest public art gallery. So we started out as part of the university, actually, mm-hmm. but have had a long history that brought us to this point, and I think it's been a great year building on the last few years being really fantastic.
Good. Well, and a pretty significant event that you saw the gallery hosting the 2025 Governor General Awards in Visual and Media Arts started in December, and I'm understanding that continues there. People can see through May, is that it?
Yeah, that's right. The Governor General's Arts or Awards in Arts and Visual and Media Arts is something that's been around for a long time. It's typically hosted at the National Gallery of Canada, mm-hmm. And they're still collaborating on it, but they work on it with the Canada Council for the Arts, and they decided that starting this year, they wanted to really celebrate it as a national award. So they'll host the exhibition in a different part of Canada every year. And they reached out to us, and we were very proud that the McKinsey Art Gallery is the inaugural host for that that new format.
So what is it people can see when they come to McKinsey and they want to take a look at the Governor General Awards in Visual and Media Arts?
Well, we've got about 5 exhibitions on now at the gallery. So the Governor General's Awards show is the main exhibition. So you come up on the stairs, you turn left, and then you're going to see 8 of Canada's best artists that are being honored by Mary Simon, the Governor General of Canada, for their lifetime of contribution to the arts. So you'll see Kent Monkman, who's from Fisher River Cree Nation, just out of Manitoba. You'll see Thaddeus Halloweena, Bruce LeBruce, Sandra Rodriguez, Jin Myoon, and Peter Pierre O'Bron. So they're an eclectic group that they have from painting to new media art to video and to furniture making, actually.
Interesting. My guest is John Hampton. John is the CEO and executive director of the McKinsey Art Gallery Regina. You've been in this role for a few years now, but you're the first Indigenous executive director of a non-Indigenous public art gallery, I understand. How significant has that been for you and for what you have at the gallery?
Oh, well, it's a great honor, but it's also a responsibility taking on that mantle. And it's something that I hope to see happening at more and more galleries as we move forward. So it's been quite a journey for me, I'll say, as we do this. And McKinsey's really been a leader and at the forefront of championing Indigenous art really since the 70s. So it made a natural fit where this is a place where I could land comfortably, and it would make sense with the gallery's direction.
Clearly, you believe that art brings people together and also helps create conversations. Do you see that? People really enjoying the time that they get at the McKinsey Art Gallery and going through the various displays?
Yeah, they definitely do. So art is, I think, increasingly important, especially as in our current times, it can be a little too easy to feel divided or to have people feel pitted against each other. And art is one of those spaces where you can find some type of common ground between different cultural understandings, different belief structures. You're able to communicate on that more emotional or spiritual level rather than getting mired in politics or in the in your inability to verbally communicate across those differences. So we've definitely seen that and hear that from our audiences. And one of the important things that we've been doing at the gallery is that we really lean into our Saskatchewan identity, and we've been working hard to celebrate Saskatchewan's central role in Canadians' identity. So through uplifting and promoting the unique culture, history, and identity that is here in the prairies and the Great Plains.
And do you still get good daily numbers of people coming to experience what they will find at the McKinsey Art Gallery?
Yeah, last year in 2025, we had about 83,000 people through the door, and we reached last year about 660,000 through our collective programs. So part of, we have a range of offerings. So although not every single person in Regina or Saskatchewan is going to come through our doors, that's true for all of our attractions, whether it's the CWA or a Pats game, which the vibrancy is about having all of those offerings. But then we also do a touring program exhibition. So we tour exhibitions across Canada into the United States, and we have online programs that we offer to people. So through all of those things, then we reached roughly 660,000 people last year. Yeah, and we have specific programs for youth, for through partnerships with the Regina Immigrant Women's Center, through local First Nations, through all different types of groups that we make sure that we're creating cultural offerings that help improve the vibrancy of our city and our province. So over 340 community programs and over 3,300 children coming through our youth programs.
Boy, that's impressive. And speaking of youth, when a young person goes through the McKenzie Art Gallery or any art gallery and they see something that really clicks with them, that it inspires them, what advice do you give a young artist who wants to make an impact in the arts?
Oh, well, I would give the advice that just that pursue it, is that follow your creativity, your ambitions, don't let go of that ability to imagine, to think differently. Art is, it inspires creativity. It gives us those critical problem-solving skills that are ever more important today as our world gets more complex. But really, it's beyond that, it's about embracing wonder and feeling confident about your own voice. That's something we hear more than anything else from the youth who come through our programs, like the Regina Arts Youth Network, is they always talk about arts giving them confidence, giving that ability to feel proud about their own voice and their ability to create their own direction. And I think that's essential. You don't have to create art or do things that you see on television or that you even see on the McKenzie's walls, but just trust in your own vision and create something.
Do your own thing.
Yeah.
It sounds like you've got a fascinating job, John. We wish you all the best going into 2026. Anything about the coming new year that you're pumped up about, you're looking forward to?
There's so much I'm excited about for this new year. Like, we just 2 months ago, we made announcements that we are housing this new database for the Art of Norvell Morisot. So this database is a huge deal. It houses over information about over 3,000 works of art produced by the artist Norvell Morisot. We received an endowment from Westerkirk Works of Art. They're a company funded by, through de Havilland Canada Airplanes, through Thomson Reuters, Globe and Mail, but have been visionaries in supporting Canadian art, particularly the Art of Norvell Morisot. So we're going to start doing some programming around that, about celebrating Norvell Morisot's art, celebrating Saskatchewan art. We've got another major announcement coming just next week, which I would love to break with you right now, but you'll have to stay tuned next Thursday. We're releasing that information about how we're celebrating some Saskatchewan artists moving forward. And we've got a major exhibition of emerging digital artists that we collaborate with EQ Bank on. That's opening February 5th. In April, I'm the co-chair of the Canadian Arts Summit that's put on by Business in the Arts. And so that's in April 9th through 11th. Maya Stark, Saskatoon-based artist, March 26th. Who explores folklore, mythology, and his very Gothic style paintings and ceramics. It's going to be a really great year, I'll say.
It certainly sounds like it, and we'll look forward to that announcement next Thursday. John, thanks so much for your time. Fascinating position that you've got there, and we wish you a great 2026 ahead at the McKenzie Art Gallery.
Yeah, happy 2026 to you and all the listeners, too.
All right. Thank you very much. John Hampton, part of the Evan Bray Show, which continues till 12:30 on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
I'm on my way from misery.
Well, let's hope that's your situation. You're going from the misery of 2025 into the happiness of 2026. Sure, why not? Brent Laux with you, filling in for Evan. He'll be back here on Monday, the Evan Bray Show on 980 CJME Regina, 650 CKOM Saskatoon. Just horrible, this tragedy in the ski resort in southwest Switzerland, where a New Year's Eve party turned fatal. And now more and more, it appears that the cause of this fire, this horrific fire that claimed at least 40 lives, 115 people injured, the majority of those are in critical condition. It now appears it was some sort of sparklers or candles that were put into or on top of champagne bottles. I know I saw a video earlier from someone who was in that club at the time, and you could see it was a fairly low ceiling, and there was a bit of a mesh, and then above the mesh, some sort of insulation, and it appears that that caught fire quite quickly and spread quite rapidly. But, boy, it just seems to happen. Yeah, you know, it seemed to go through this kind of a horrible incident every few years around a time of celebration, be it a New Year's Eve party, be it some other celebration, and people get caught up in a fire situation. And often these facilities just aren't totally prepared to deal with the crowd and the crush of people wanting to get out. But there'll be more on this comes out as the investigation continues. But just a terrible, terrible event in Switzerland at this ski resort on New Year's Eve. During the show today on the Evan Bray Show, we cover a lot of territory. We had a whole lot of topics. We had a whole lot of guests on, and we'll continue that here coming up just after 12 noon. A little bit more discussion on the decision by Saskatoon City Police that they are now, as of the 1st of January, proceeding with mandatory alcohol screening, MAS, as it's being called. Regina Police and the RCMP in Saskatchewan have been doing this over the past 2 years. And then when I say they've been doing it, they've had the ability to do it. It'll be interesting to see, like, what's changed, what it is with Saskatoon City Police, why they perhaps waited to do this for the past couple of years, and what they're thinking is going ahead. Sergeant Ray Robertson, Saskatoon City Police, is going to check in with me here coming up after the new news. Another item that got a lot of talk, certainly on our text line, and I can share some here with you, were these changes to employment standards that are effective here the 1st of January as well. And the one particular hot ticket item is on the issue of tips. Now, this new rule prevents business owners, employers, from deducting or withholding tips from employees. It'd be interesting to see, you know, each restaurant's different, how they manage their tip system. You know, I think most of us probably pay for our meals with our debit or a credit card in one of the handheld devices that they use. And so that would show the server's name on there, I do believe, and it would show then the tip. So at the end of the day, one would want to think that it's a simple process where at the end of the day, during cash out, each server would cash out on the computer and they would see what their total amount of tip was, and that's what they should get. The province now says workers who have had their tips held back can now file complaints to the Director of Employment Standards, who could then force an employer to pay what's owed. And maybe I live in a different world. I want to believe everybody's doing things correctly, but gosh, had a lot of texts from people talking about bad experiences with restaurant owners that they used to work for. Some of the texts that we got include one from Gary here. Gary says, I worked 20 years in retail and we were never allowed to accept tips. And he said, we were paid weekly, but we were expected to be the plumbers, the electricians, the mechanics, the carpenters, and the personal shoppers. Yet people that simply hand you your food or drink feel they're entitled to gratuity. That's Gary in Saskatoon. One of our listeners doesn't say the name, but this listener says there's a restaurant in Weyburn which automatically deducts 15% from its waiters and waitresses cash outs, regardless of tips received. It's about time laws were implemented. And that'll be it. You know, and everybody's situation is going to be different. If you're a server and you've been in a business establishment for a number of years, and you've got a good relationship with your boss, but the boss still isn't doing you right as far as tips are concerned, are you going to make that decision to file a complaint? 1-877-332-8255. Final text on that. Restaurants have just about lost me because of the guilt associated with it. Give me the price. If you need 20% more, just make it part of the price. Don't send me on a guilt trip when it comes time to add the tip. This is the Evan Bray Show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.